Magnificat has changed the daily prayer life of millions of Catholics worldwide. Each monthly pocket-sized issue includes prayers for the morning and evening, daily Mass prayers and readings, meditations, saints' lives, essays, and more. Magnificat helps you pray the way the Church prays. Email offers@magnificat.com to request a free copy. Visit Magnificat online by clicking on their website link in the show notes for this episode, or download the app free for a month. Explore Magnificat and give your prayer life the beauty it deserves.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Candid. We are here today with Gilbert Rodriguez, who is the Associate Director of Adult Faith Formation for the Archdiocese of New York, as well as a facilitator with the Encounter School of Ministries, and a great musician who I've actually shared the stage with before, probably 6-7 years ago, right?
Yeah, long time ago.
Are you still playing music?
Not as much, okay. But I appreciate every opportunity.
All right. We'll have to make an opportunity to play together again, for sure. So I wanted to start off this interview with your role with the Archdiocese of New York. So can you tell us a little bit about what it's like being the Associate Director of Adult Faith Formation at the Archdiocese of New York?
Sure. First, I'm super excited to be here. And hello to my wife, who's watching from show.
Shout out.
I love you. Yeah, so I work with a great team, the Office of Adult Faith Formation, and we have three goals. We want to lead people to adults, right? Adult Catholics to an encounter with Christ. We want to disciple them in the faith, and we want to equip them for mission. So like all of the events that we host, all of the programs that we offer have those three objectives: to lead people to a personal encounter with Christ, to make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus, to form them not only intellectually, but spiritually, pastorally, humanly as well. Mm. Yeah, we got to be nice people, right? We got to be kind.
Yeah, definitely.
and also we want to equip them for effective ministry and ministry that's effective now, right? In the year 2024.
Absolutely, which is different than it was 10, 20 years ago, for sure.
Even 4 years ago.
Yeah. So how has that changed? What are some of those things that you do differently now that you did, you know, differently 4 years ago, 8 years ago?
I would say there's been a greater emphasis in the community. Mm. So you know, we've hosted a scripture conference and also a men's conference. And what people have been asking for is just time to be with one another. So we give a longer lunch break, and also even, you know, the way we schedule a day, we schedule time for people to do faith sharing. So, you know, it's not our events are not just, filled with back-to-back talks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like, community and faith sharing, create the context, through which people could, encounter Christ and deepen their relationship with him.
Absolutely. Amen.
Awesome. Obviously, a big point of this whole conversation is we're going to dig into this concept of stepping into the supernatural. We're going to touch on Encounter School of Ministries. Before we do that, can you share a little bit about your own experience within the Charismatic Renewal? Obviously, I think this is not limited to people who are quote unquote charismatic. It is a very traditional way of life. Literally, the early church were walking in these giftings. But I would assume you're charismatic. Is that true?
Yes. And I prefer now to use the term charismatic dimension of the church.
Yeah.
As opposed to charismatic renewal. Because when we use the term charismatic renewal, unknowingly, unintentionally, we limit the gifts of the Spirit to a particular movement. And I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not for a particular movement or a particular subsection of the church, but these gifts, right, this renewal is for the whole church.
Amen.
Mm. And Pope Francis, he spoke to members of the Charismatic Renewal recently, and he said, okay, you need to find a way to bring the baptism of the Spirit to the entire church, right? So it's in the heart of Jesus, I believe, to bring all believers into this renewal and encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. I really love that way of thinking. So was this a part of like your life growing up, or did you like have this conversion into the renewal. Not, oh gosh, here I go saying renewal again. It's a habit. Yeah. But no, I love that explanation so much.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I was born into it. So I was singing Alabare, like from my mother's womb.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up from a very young age, my family used to host prayer meetings. At different houses. So I grew up around, the gift of tongues, prophecy, loud praises. And I think it was a grace that it never scared me.
Wow.
And from a young age, I was convinced that, man, this is what normal Christianity looks like. This is what it feels like. It never scared me away. I never found it weird, but I just wanted more. And also, what attracted me was not just the gifts, right? But just seeing the fruit in the people who would engage in these gifts and in this way of praying and this way of ministering, where they were just very joyful in the midst of suffering. And I'm like, man, I want more of that. So when I was in seventh grade, I was invited to join my parish youth group, which was a Hispanic charismatic youth group. And man, I wouldn't trade those beginnings for anything. So like, we'll come in, we'll pray a rosary together, then have a time of praise and worship, listen to talks, pray over one another. And God was just working at my heart. And finally, but it's just another step in my journey, where I was invited to live a three-day retreat at the Hispanic Charismatic Center in the Bronx, or El Centro, as many call it. And there I experienced the baptism of the Spirit for the first time. And I remember that night, this was May 2001, that night, after experiencing this baptism of the Spirit, I made a personal decision to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. And I made a commitment to Jesus, like, I want to serve you. Like, wherever you send me, I'm going to go. And which should be a fruit of the baptism of the Spirit, like just a yearning, a hunger to follow Jesus wherever he calls us to go.
Hmm. Praise God. That's beautiful. Yeah, that one is. Thing I want to touch on is that is truly a gift, that you didn't have any fear or trepidation or even felt frazzled around it. And maybe it's because you were like born into it in a sense, but it's even so biblical. We see like in the upper room, the Pharisees were so alarmed by it. They're like, are these people drunk? Like, what are they doing? They must be drunk, even though it's the morning. And I've experienced that before too, because I was not raised whatsoever in that culture. It's a grace though to, I don't know, even like apart from the spiritual aspect, people who are unabashedly like glorifying anything, there's like a fear factor to it. And so the only way that you can experience that and witness it with joy is if the Lord is in it. Like, I truly believe that. And so the fact that you never felt that, that's a supernatural grace in and of itself. So praise God. That was beautiful.
Yeah. I think that leads to another question or part of this topic, right? Of that people who haven't witnessed it before are scared and alarmed. And it does seem almost like taboo. And like you said earlier, it seems like this other like part of the church that it's like, oh, we're not part of that. So we couldn't go to like a prayer group like that because it might be scary. So like, could you speak into that as, you know, you have grown up in it your whole life. So it was normal to you. But maybe even talk about like some of the ways that you've seen these like gifts like manifest, to explain to people that like it's a beautiful thing that's given from God. It's not something to be scared about.
Right. So first, I want to own and take responsibility for any way I or others have misrepresented the charismatic dimension of the church through spiritual abuses, exaggerations, a misuse of the gifts. But I learned a while back that the solution of those abuses or exaggerations is not to stifle the gifts or to try to prevent the use of the gifts, but proper formation, like good formation in the gifts is the solution. And, you know, so I know people who've had like very negative experiences. Like maybe I know someone who was given a false prophecy, you know, that has harmed them. But praise God, you know, they found healing in Jesus, and you could say their faith in the charisms and in this move of the Spirit was restored. So people who find themselves at that place where like they're nervous, they're scared, but then deep down they know this is true, is to find healthy places like Encounter, like Heart of the Father, like Renewal Ministries with Dr. Ralph Martin, healthy places, places and ministries who engage and use the gifts in a healthy way, and just give themselves permission to be open to that. Like I heard this a few years back and it stayed with me. Like the only way we could spot a counterfeit is by spending time with the real thing. Mm. And I think a lot of times we run around and spend time with the counterfeit, and yeah. we point to the counterfeit to dismiss what is true, what is authentic. Mm. But I invite people to experience the authentic, you know, the authentic and healthy expressions of the renewal.
Mm. Wow. That's really well put. So Encounter's mission statement is to teach, equip, and activate you in the full supernatural lifestyle of Jesus. So can you explain what the full supernatural lifestyle of Jesus is to somebody who doesn't know that?
Right. So through the incarnation, God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know Jesus is eternally God. He's fully God and fully man. And when I heard this, right, for the first time, it truly changed my mindset and the way I viewed the life of Jesus as taught in the Gospels. So even though Jesus is eternally God, everything that he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, right? So like all of his miracles, all of the deliverances he performed, all the healings, right? He did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And why? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus came to give us a model to follow. He did everything that he did as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself, he said that it's by the finger of God, right? The Holy Spirit, that he exercised demons and he performs healings. And in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus went around doing good, healing those oppressed by the devil, again, by the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus wanted to show us what a life full of the Holy Spirit looks like, right? So, and what do we see in the life of Jesus? We see the miraculous, we see healings, we see Jesus give words of knowledge, right? In his encounter with Nathanael and the Samaritan woman. But again, Jesus left us like a model, an example to follow. So like the life of Jesus is not far off. And that is the role of the Holy Spirit. He sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could do the works that he did, and even greater works. It's a promise that he made to us in John 14, that in my name, you will do the works that I do and even greater works.
Wow.
Right? And I think sometimes we could read that, would the term be metaphorically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, I think he meant that literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like we were talking off camera earlier and you were like, it's in the Bible. It's the truth. Like, who
That's
are we to
thing.
Say,
yeah.
oh, well, like you said, a cafeteria Catholic, oh, I picked this part of the scripture, but not this part.
Yeah.
I think maybe it is because it's like, oh, it's hard to comprehend that it's like, it must be metaphorical. It must be, because it couldn't be literal.
Right.
I could do that and greater. Couldn't be. But maybe that's why it's something that we literally can't comprehend.
And we're not seeing it happen in the normal parish down the block, right?
Exactly.
We're not seeing
the
works of Jesus. We see, of course, we see the sacraments celebrated, but we're not hearing testimony of people being healed from cancer or getting up from wheelchairs or like prophetic words being fulfilled. And actually that's one of my dreams, that you know, this becomes normal in the life of the church,
yes.
right? And that we're not just a group of weirdos like hidden away at some church basement, but this could be Yeah, I believe this is meant to be a part of the life of the church.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, to your point, none of this is like being conjured up by the human wisdom. Like it is truly, it's in the catechism that Jesus was operating from his human nature. It's in Philippians, I believe he says, like, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. All throughout his earthly life, he was operating through his human nature. And so there's no need for us to distance ourselves and believe that we can't operate in that same supernatural power. And on that same note, again, this is all in scripture. In 1 Corinthians, it says, it gives us the guidelines of what these spiritual gifts are. And I kind of want to pick your brain about these. So what exactly do these manifestations look? What are the gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that we can start seeing in the lives of human beings?
When you read scripture, you want to know you're reading with the mind of the church. Verbum helps you read scripture in the light of the church teaching by putting the magisterium at your fingertips. Connect the daily scripture readings with the catechism, church fathers, trusted Catholic commentaries, and church documents. Keep track of your notes, reflections, highlights, and reading plans across multiple devices. Or learn how to pray through scripture with step-by-step instructions on Lectio Divina. Take your spiritual reading, journaling, and study to the next level as Verbum puts a world-class Catholic library on your phone, tablets, and computers. You can learn more at verbum.com/a reason for hope.
So if you're wondering how you can help this ministry, rating and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help others hear it, as well as sharing it with your friends and your family. So join us in this mission by rating, reviewing, or sharing this episode with someone you think needs to hear it. And we want to thank you for your continued support of A Reason for Hope podcast.
I love the explanation that Father Matthias Thelen, who is the president and co-founder of Encounter Ministries, he says that the gifts of the Spirit are instruments of love, right? Because Paul, after he teaches on the gifts, he says, make love your aim, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So at the end of the day, the gifts of the Spirit are instruments of love and they are expressions of love, right? Mm-hmm. So if we do not have a love of neighbor, we can't operate in the gifts in a healthy way. We can, because it's supposed to flow out of that love. My friend Matt Lozano, who is a part of Heart of the Father, I don't know if you heard of Unbound, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So something I learned from him that he practices is that before he exercises any charism, whether it's teaching, healing, prophecy, he asks the Father to allow him to feel and sense what he feels for the person or for the people that he's about to serve, right? Because the gifts are supposed to flow out of, yes, a love for God, but also a love for neighbor. And honestly, that has been a game changer, to see the gifts as expressions and instruments of, mm-hmm. of God's love. And so, yeah, these gifts, they're graces, right? And actually, that's where we get the word charismatic. In the Greek, the word for gifts is charismata, right?
Mm. Cool.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and these are like graces. I'll say this. These are graces given to us to manifest the love of God to others, wow. right? So, you know, let's say, we're praying for an unbeliever who has a physical illness and we pray for healing in the name of Jesus and they see the healing happen, man, like, they have to have like a heart of stone to not be open to Jesus after experiencing that, right? And also very important to know that these gifts are not an end in themselves, right? These gifts are supposed to point to Jesus, right? These gifts are for the purpose of evangelization, right? They're not for the purpose of like a sort of spiritual self-indulgence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in the authentic, right? Charismatic renewal or charismatic dimension of the church, right? These gifts are meant to serve the other, right? So at any point that it becomes about us and what we feel and You know, like, yeah, then we lost the point. It's the gifts are for the other. Father Cantalamessa, who's the preacher of the papal household, he'll say it this way: when if I have a gift, my gift is more yours than it is mine. Mm. Right, so my gift is actually yours because it's for your upbuilding.
Yeah, I mean that's a gift, right?
Yeah.
You don't, when you get a gift for somebody, you don't keep it for yourself; you give it to them. Huh. So I guess you were just talking about an unbeliever seeing something like this, right? So I guess if you are giving this person a gift, but that person doesn't believe, that doesn't have that love in their heart, does that hinder the gift giving? Or I guess maybe I'm not asking this question appropriately, but like at confirmation, we're given, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I was at a mass and the priest was saying, like, you're being given this gift, but you have to open it. So if you're giving this gift of prophecy to somebody or you're healing, if they're not open to that healing, will they receive it, I guess is my question.
Right. Very good question. I'll say it this way, that, you know, grace is not magic, right? And grace requires, right, our consent, our cooperation, and our free will. And actually, this applies to sacramental graces, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, we've seen it, all because someone receives the sacrament of confirmation does not guarantee that they're going to choose to continue to be a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So like any grace that the Lord gives us, right, or any grace that we receive through another, right, requires our free will, our consent, and our cooperation. It requires our yes. Yeah. So let's say, yeah, like someone could see healings and the supernatural, but that does not guarantee, you know, that they're going to choose Jesus.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it increases the chances.
Right? Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to choose Jesus.
Mm. Another question that like popped into my head was that, I feel like I haven't witnessed a healing before, but I've heard lots of people who have, and it's interesting to me that with social media now, it's never something that goes on the news, like watch this video of this person being healed. And is it because obviously you're not doing it for that, but it is a form of evangelization. So I guess maybe my question is, like, in our conversation off camera, you were saying that, like, if this was more normal in the church, more people would come to the church for these things rather than going to things like the occult or to a medium or to a psychic. So how is it that we can evangelize through these gifts, through these charisms, to show people? Because sure, the second you set up a video camera, it changes the room, right? But I've never witnessed it. And you'd think that with everything posted on social media, that somebody would be like, wow, look at what just happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Can you speak to that?
No, good question and great comment. But Encounter Ministries on the YouTube channel have posted testimonies of people who were miraculously healed and miracle births, right? And there's one testimony of a woman who was healed. And her father's a doctor. And her father testified to the fact, yeah, like this had to be God.
Right.
Because like there's no other explanation. So I know Encounter Ministries and their YouTube page have testimonies, but I definitely agree with you. Well, I'll say it this way. Satan is real. And Satan has a way of keeping the treasures of the church hidden. Yeah, so there's many ministries, apostolates and movements who are very fruitful and are having great impact on the church. But then it's like, man, we got to dig and dig and dig to find these things, right? So like, I think about it all the time. Like I went to Catholic school all my life, right? From kindergarten through 12th grade. And I graduated from high school in 2003. And it wasn't until 2011 that I heard of Franciscan University. I'm like, how could that be? Right. Yeah. So, you know, Satan, right, has a way of just keeping the treasures of the church very hidden. And I agree with you that we have to find a way to bring this goodness out into the light.
Right.
Right. And just let it shine, like Jesus said, right?
Yeah.
You can't hide a light for too long.
Right.
But I think it's happening where all this goodness, all these treasures can no longer be hidden. Like I just see like a treasure chest just ready to burst. Mm. Right. Because all the gold, right, cannot be contained in there any longer.
Yeah.
So beautiful. That's a great point. And I would honestly just encourage our listeners to be skeptical and do research.
Yes.
Like something mm-hmm. I love about the Catholic Church is whenever they approve anything, they are more skeptical than an atheist. Honestly, like a Marian apparition, any like doctrine, they do their research to the ends of the earth and they just go through great lengths to confirm this. And so if this is something that you're even curious about, open up scripture. Open up scripture, read the catechism, and just do some research. Going back to 1 Corinthians, like to the gifts of the Spirit, I would encourage you guys to start there. Is it 1 Corinthians 13? Do you know the gifts?
12.
1 Corinthians 12. Mm-hmm. And just like see what the Lord is saying about these gifts. And at the very end of that verse, Jimmy and I were reading it right before this, mm-hmm. but it says, you will receive these according to your desire for it. And so that is just a really important thing to note. That like the Lord literally says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. And so if this is something that you truly desire, the Lord is going to come and he's going to like fill you with all of these graces to surpass like your lack of understanding, to surpass your skepticism, all of it. So it's so good. Yeah, I would just encourage you guys, don't let this be the end of the conversation. Do your own research.
For sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great works as well that's out there that... goes in depth into different gifts. Like I highly suggest the book on spiritual gifts by Dr. Mary Healy and Dr. Randy Clark. Dr. Mary Healy has a book on healing. My favorite is Renew Your Wonders by Damien Stain. Mm. Goes very in depth into the different charisms and explains how this renewal was birthed. So yeah, there's a lot of great stuff out there. And also, for those of you who are thinking about doing the Encounter School of Ministry, the whole curriculum was reviewed by a team of theologians, and things were tweaked, right, to avoid any confusion, right?
Yeah.
So and also this team of theologian was assigned by the USCCB, right, to do this review of Encounter curriculum. So it's like it's all legit. So you could receive it and feel safe. Yeah. Right, that you're not going to be led astray.
Yeah, it's approved by the church. This is something that they approve.
Important.
So, talking about these gifts and talking about 1 Corinthians 12, in the mission statement of Encounter, it says to teach, equip, and activate. So, can one be taught how to activate any gift? Is every person given a specific gift? Say somebody wants the gift of healing, but they have the gift of prophecy. Like, how does that work? Is it obviously it's God's will what you have. So, you know, I guess, do you see people being like coming to Encounter for a specific gift or just open to whatever gift they have? How does that work?
Yeah. So it's a both and where God, he moves sovereignly, right? And you could say people like spontaneously discovered the charisms that God is calling them to operate in. So like I know, God rest his soul, but Father Bill Halbing, who was a priest in the Archdiocese of Newark, he said that the first time he experienced the supernatural healing was it was unintentional. It was like almost by mistake, where someone was on a wheelchair came to him and said, "Hey, Father, like, can you pray for me?" And Father was just tired. He was wiped out. He didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yeah, sure." And he gave a blessing, like nonchalant, and the person got up from their wheelchair.
Oh my goodness.
And that's how Father Bill discovered that he had the charism for healing. But a principle that's taught in Encounter is that we could operate in these spiritual gifts through our identity, right? So like, all of us, we've been baptized sons and daughters of God. And out of our identity and that authority that comes from being sons and daughters, right, we could manifest healing and speak to others on behalf of God. So I think even before discovering the gifts, we need to discover who we are. Right? And I know a lot of people, right, who, including me, right, who at one time was operating the gifts, but with no idea about, you know, our identity, right, my identity. So I think that is, and actually that's the first quarter in the Encounter School, is identity. So we, like, it lays that foundation through which all ministry could be fruitful. But when it comes to specific gifts, I think it's both. It's received by God, but they can be activated. So again, like as I said earlier, grace requires our cooperation. So I could be given a gift by God for healing, but if I'm not out there praying for the sick, then I'm not going to see any healing manifest.
Right.
If I don't pray for the sick, the answer is always going to be no.
Right.
True.
Right. So yeah. Another way I've seen gifts be activated in different people is just being around others who are operating like in that gift. So for a long time, I've been asking the Lord to help me in the area of street evangelization. And it was about, a year ago, last year, I was with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in Newburgh, New York, and they invited a ministry called Urban Encounters from Columbus, Ohio. And I said, hey, I want to be with Brian O'Donnell because he has a gifting and an anointing for street evangelization. And man, just being around him within 2 minutes, I was out there just talking to people, praying with people, just being in close proximity to him. So, hey, if there's a gift you desire, and also I firmly believe that desire is a confirmation of the gift you may have. Right? So if there's a gift you earnestly desire, be around people who are operating that gift. So I'm pretty sure when you first started to learn how to play drums, right?
Yeah.
You were around other good drummers.
Yeah. Or good musicians. The saying is always be the worst musician in the room and you're going to get better.
I love that.
100%. Yeah. That's what I was thinking the entire time you're talking. I always try to relate things back to music.
The prophetic was working. I read your mind.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go.
You know, I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'm actually a student at Encounter School of Ministries, year one. Let's go. It's been great. But one thing I've noticed about it, my boyfriend did year one last year and he had, I think, approximately like 40, 50 people in his class. My class currently has 77 people and Encounter's only expanding. Like they're only having even more like little pop-ups in different cities. And I'm just realizing there's this huge revival within Catholics who are discovering this. And I think their minds are being open. But do you have a theory as to like why that is?
I just think people are hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry for truth. They're hungry for authentic expressions of revival. I know people, those that I know who are in Encounter, whether through the school or part of the team, they just came to a moment in their lives where they read the Gospels or read Acts of the Apostles, and they're like, God, like, why isn't this happening? You know, and then, you know, they went on Google and boom, they found Encounter Ministries. So praise God that, you know, that he's filling that need through Encounter Ministries and also other movements who have been pressing in for renewal in the church.
Amen. It's so needed.
Yeah. Well, this is great. We really appreciate you coming on the show. We'll have to make an opportunity to play some music together again. So do you want to leave us with anything else? Any links for people to go to if they're interested in Encounter, where they can go, how they sign up?
Sure. So you could go to encounterschool.org and you'll find information on summer intensives and also information on satellite schools all over the country. And also, if there's any listeners in Canada or, you know, there's different schools in different parts of Canada. Now there's a school in Mexico City. Also, there's the option to do the school online if that works better for you and your schedule. So to find all that information on the school, on the curriculum, what to expect, go to encounterschool.org. And of course, you could also go to encounterministries.us for information on conferences, weekend schools, and other opportunities to just receive, right? And let the Holy Spirit love on you. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Yeah. Just allowing God to be God in you and through you.
Amen. Thanks, man. We appreciate you being here, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
God bless.
Bless. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of A Reason for Hope Candid. We're happy to be a part of your faith journey. Stay connected with us by following us on your favorite social media platform at R4H Podcast. That's letter R, number 4, letter H Podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the video footage of this episode. See the show notes for additional resources. Until next episode, peace be with you.